Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space is Francois Mulock-Hauer from Resco. Thanks so much, Francois, for joining us today. So we've got, for the most part, the focus on the Fed today, and that's what's seeing markets tread pretty tentatively. What are you making of the trading picture at the moment? Because unless U.S. traders have got this all wrong, the Federal Reserve will be announcing a 25 basis point increase to rates this evening.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. I mean, I think it would be a massive surprise if they don't hike interest rates today. But I think more in focus is the comments afterwards and what's going to happen in 2018. I think markets at this moment are pricing in two rate hikes, but the Fed dot plot's pointing towards maybe four. So it's really more eyes on 2018, what's going to happen from here on forward.
Let's shift focus to the political arena for just a bit. Does the Alabama Democrats' victory signal a shift in voter sentiment away from Trump? Because that would mean a bit of a detraction from his agenda that has been bolstering the markets thus far.
It could be. I mean, a lot of commentators are calling for Trump only being in for 4 years. Not serving a second innings. It's difficult to call at this stage. I think it's quite early, and we still have things like tax reform coming through, which might play in Donald Trump's favor. He was pushing it quite a bit.
Let's take a look at an interesting note that I picked up today, because what it pointed to was the valuation gap between the FTSE 100 and the US's S&P 500. Where it has widened pretty strongly since the Brexit vote. I mean, while this is partly down to U.S. stocks becoming more expensive, it also reflects very much, investor anxiety over Brexit. So given last Friday's negotiations and the breakthrough we've seen on the European front, are you expecting much of a reversal of that trend at this point?
I think it's a bit premature. I think, especially if you look at the U.S. economy, things are going great there. I mean, we saw jobs data this week, basically one job opening for every unemployed person. We have possible tax cuts coming. These things are very positive for the businesses. And I think looking at UK, it's more policy uncertainty. Even though negotiations seem to be catching some traction, it's still massive uncertainty. It's still a very long process. So I think the US overall is just a better place to do business at this stage, and you can see it in the stock markets.
Yeah. Of course, global events aside, we've got South Africa being provided with local directive as well on the economic data scene. CPI coming in better than expected. Retail sales, however, worse than expected. Given the fundamental picture right now, what are you making of the strength we've seen filtered through to the local unit?
I think on CPI, firstly, you've seen soft commodities come down quite a bit, and that's helped food inflation come down, which is great for the consumer. Mm-hmm. But like you said, on the other hand, you have retail sales slightly disappointing in October. But I think that's Black Friday would have a part to play in this kind of deferred spending. Black Friday has become a bigger and bigger event in South Africa. I think this year it was, you could see it in the traffic in Sandton. It was absolutely crazy out there. So I think every consumer in October planning to buy a TV or whether it's just clothing was thinking, let me wait a little bit for November, big specials coming and I'll spend it more there.
Okay, so we're anticipating somewhat of a rise there. Let's take a look at that local unit sitting at 1349 at this stage. I mean, what are you making off current valuations right now?
I think the currency is looking quite strong at this stage. Obviously, all eyes on political events. It's kind of wait and see at this stage. If you have a positive political outcome, it could go even stronger than this. But I think balance of probabilities, the rand looks pretty strong, and I'd be slightly positioned to a more careful stance.
Okay. Certainly people still very careful around Steinhoff. Its share price down today, worst performer on the top 40 index, declining 16.67%. We had the PIC out saying that it wants a seat on the investigation board. It wants two seats, on the of non-executive directors within Steinhoff and Stars boards as well. What have you made of that announcement, and do you see Steinhoff likely to bend?
You know, I think it's difficult. With Steinhoff now, it dipped down so low that there was a lot of opportunistic buying. And at this stage, it's kind of at a level, I think it might be range bound, because you don't really know what to make of it until there's proper, until the accounting is really resolved and there's proper facts around that. In terms of the board, I think it's quite interesting that the PIC is demanding all these things. We'll see what happens. I'm not really sure what to make of it at this stage.
Do you make more sense out of EOH's share price rise today, announcing that its former CEO, Mr. Bobbitt, will be taking his seat once again? I mean, how much of that rise attributed to this one man alone?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Asher built up the business from scratch. And while he was there, the share price rallied massively. And obviously, while he was gone, there's been allegations of some dodgy dealings and all of these things. And also, share price fell massively on this forced selling on margin calls from the banks or brokers. And I think having him in strategy, I think, is definitely a good thing for EOH. And you can see it in the share price. People tend to trust him a bit. But yeah, we'll see what happens going forward. I think investors are very scared of, since what happened to Steinhoff, mm-hmm. any kind of connection to any dodgy dealings or corruptions is taken very seriously at this stage. So in EOH's case, we'll have to wait and see, because nothing's really been proven yet.
Yeah, we've got investors taking a cautious approach towards Steinhoff, towards EOH, towards Naspers as well. What are you more confident in? What's emerging as your stock pick at the moment?
At this stage, I really like Mondi. I think obviously a nice rand hedge. Kraftliner prices are looking, the market's looking quite healthy, and they've got some good exposure to Eastern Europe, and Eastern Europe's doing fantastically. I mean, they recently actually complained that wage increases are hurting them a bit there, but it's all just a function of a very healthy economy, and that will eventually lead to spending, which is good for them on the Kraftliner and kind of e-commerce consumer goods side. I think there's also a possibility of a special dividend or some sort of investor remuneration coming, and all this leads to a pretty picture.
So one to watch. Let's leave it there, Francois. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Francois Mulock-Hauer is with Resco. Well, we're going to be checking in on some global news now. South Korea is considering making moves to rein in the frenzy around Bitcoin by banning miners from opening accounts on exchanges and possibly taxing capital gains from the trading of cryptocurrencies, as regulators worldwide worry about a bubble. So let's take a look at this report.
South Koreans are swept up in Bitcoin mania. That's got Seoul officials scrambling to rein in the craze as regulators around the world warn of a bubble. One group of traders in particular has set off alarm bells, students drawn in by Bitcoin's explosive surge this year. On Wednesday, the government held an emergency meeting to try and find a solution. It's weighing a ban on miners opening accounts on cryptocurrency exchanges and a tax on capital gains from trading virtual coins. Right now, anyone with a phone and bank account can sign up to trade on South Korea's Bitthumb, the world's busiest exchange. The possibility of major losses for everyday people if the bubble bursts and wild swings of Bitcoin's value every day have policymakers racing to come up with a response. That same volatility has spawned what many in Korea call Bitcoin zombies, everyday traders who check prices 24 hours a day. After Bitcoin jumped 21% in 1 week in November, the prime minister said he was concerned about students joining the trend, creating what he calls a serious pathological phenomenon. In a country where gambling is only legal for visiting foreigners, Seoul has already banned financial institutions from dealing with virtual currencies, and there have been calls to ban cryptocurrency trading altogether. Officials say the new measures to tackle the trading craze will be announced as soon as Friday.
Well, we're heading into a short break right now before we catch up with the Deutsche Welle team over at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. So don't go away. Welcome back. Well, globally, we have all eyes on central bank meetings this week. The U.S. Fed expected to raise interest rates by at least 25 basis points this evening, bringing the number of rate increases for the year to 3, while the BOE and ECB are expecting to keep things on hold come tomorrow. Let's cross to Bronwyn now, who's standing by with more insight into global investor sentiment ahead of it all.
You're right, Alicia. BOE and ECB out with decisions tomorrow, but in just a bit, the Federal Reserve's final meeting for the year will wrap up. And as you said, it's largely expected that it will announce a quarter point increase in its benchmark interest rate as the Fed responds to the strength of the U.S. economy. But today won't only be about that rate decision. So for more detail on what investors will be looking out for, let's cross to Daniel Koop from Deutsche Welle, who's standing by at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange for some of that detail. Daniel, firstly, is your consensus on your end that a 25 basis point hike is likely to happen? And secondly, what else are investors looking out for? Because President Donald Trump's tax cutting package will have an impact, and the Fed would then need to respond to this as well today, hopefully.
Yeah, investors are waiting for answers. It has been a very slow day here today at the trading floor in Frankfurt. Just not too many things happening, and investors really want to know, what is the Fed going to say? What is the ECB going to say tomorrow? There's pretty much no question for investors. Investors are pretty sure that there are going to be higher interest rates in the United States. You mentioned it, 0.25%. That's what most of them here are also thinking. The interesting question is going to be if Ms. Yellen, by the way, is going to be her last press conference regarding interest rates. What she's going to say, if she gives any kind of indication, if we can again see higher interest rates also coming up next year, and if yes, how many times. Regarding the ECB meeting, also not too many surprises are expected for tomorrow. Mario Draghi, we know he has been always very conservative and very careful when it comes to higher interest rates. We don't expect any announcement of higher interest rates tomorrow. Also not another cut of the bond purchasing program. Even though investors are pretty comfortable to know what they're going to get, they're still a little bit hesitating and really want to have it written down.
Well, in the meantime, the supply of gas from Austria is back to normal after yesterday's deadly blast. Austria is, of course, a major regional transfer node, taking gas from as far away as Russia and supplying it to various countries. Italy, of course, hard hit by the event, having to call a state of emergency due to the impact that the lack of gas supply would have at a time of extreme cold. Gas prices surged after the explosion, but has that now been reversed, as supply has been restored?
Yeah, it has been restored. We have gotten the information that by midnight the gas now is again on its way pretty much to Italy. And I guess when the news was breaking yesterday, nobody had an idea what impact this really would have. I mean, gas prices went up to a five-year high. They went up by 30%. And also, when you took a closer look at the Italian media throughout the day, they were really criticizing what was happening yesterday, really saying that a big country such as Italy here in Europe should have a backup plan when something like this could happen, because of course there can always be a certain problem in a gas facility like this. Also, gas facilities like this in Austria are always also a potential target for possibly terror attacks, because also what we saw yesterday, also Germany and also Austria is receiving gas from this gas facility, but since those countries also have other ways to get gas, they were not they were not really influenced and not didn't have this much impact yesterday. But I mean, Italy even declared a state of emergency yesterday, so there's really this call that something else needs to be done about this.
And before we end off, before we went to air, there was some breaking news out from Lufthansa. The deal it wanted to strike with Niki Air has been stopped dead in its tracks. What are some of the details around that?
Yeah, very bad news for employees of Niki Air. They're going to have now a very undefined future. What is really going to happen? Niki, also a part of Air Berlin. Remember that Lufthansa, the flagship German carrier here in Germany, was taking major parts of Air Berlin and was also very interested in taking over Niki Air. But because of cartel issues, that's what we are learning today, Lufthansa has now decided to be not anymore more interested in Niki Air. This is going to be a big problem for employees, because so far there has not been any other company being interested in Niki Air. What's most likely going to happen, that also Niki Air will have to say that they are pretty much running out of money and might have to stop business. And for many people, also now before the Christmas season, it's really going to mean that they don't know what's going to happen with them in 2018.
Daniel, let's leave it there for today. Daniel Koop is from Deutsche Welle, and it's back to you, Alicia.
Well, we're heading into a break right now. That's where I leave things with you for this half hour. So I'll see you back at 7 o'clock.